Do you believe in ghosts? Based on the evidence below, I do. I used to own a pilot cutter that worked before the First World War when people went to church on Sundays. She'd never been restored since Pilot Morris of Barry sold her in 1922 after a decade spent roaming the Bristol Channel under sail seeking ships to buy his services. Morris was long dead by the time I took his cutter back to Barry, South Wales in 1982. It was a quiet night, full of fog. The boat was still running under her original oil navigation lamps as we drifted up on the flood, guided by DR, Leadline and Trust in the Lord. I was half asleep on my watch below when I heard the ancient cry, "Where bound, Captain?" There followed a muffled exchange before the response rang out loud and clear, "We are the Barry Pilot." Then footfalls, followed by silence. Of course, as day broke, I convinced myself I'd been dreaming, but my spinal cord had crawled out of my backbone at 0300. I thought no more of this until a year later, when the elderly cutter was hove to 100 miles off the coast of Greenland. The gale was well within her comfort zone, but we had two problems. Because it was howling straight off the ice, it was brutally cold, and the wind had risen so rapidly from Force 5 that we'd fantasised things could get better just as quickly. The boat had no winches, and not fancying the muscle-cracking reef purchases, we'd optimistically failed to heave down all our reefs while we still could. Now it was blowing Force 9 with hailstones cutting our cheeks. The solid pine mast was whipping like a fly rod. The soaking flax mainsail weighed a good 400 pounds and the boom was a 30-foot pitch pine spar tipping the scales at 500 weight. The whole shooting match was topped off with a solid 25-foot gaff. Too late we fell to the reef tackles, but even five young men hadn't the strength to clap in those tucks. Our only hope of saving the rig was drop the sail altogether. We were lying close-hauled, hove to with the jib stowed, the staysail aback and the wheel lashed to weather. Somehow we had to persuade her to luff up so we could dump that 800 square feet of canvas onto the deck rather than onto the North Atlantic. The master plan was to let draw the staysail so she could gather way. The lashed helm would swing her into the wind and we'd throw off the main halyards. The weight aloft would ensure it all tumbled down. The critical issue was going to be grabbing that gaff, so I stationed myself aft with a length of heavy three-strand to secure the end. The rest we'd play by ear. We waited for a smooth in the seas, then eased the staysail across and watched the classy old girl whoosh up into the wind out of the hove-to mode. "Leggo!" yelled the mate, and half a tennis court's worth of mainsail flogged down on top of us. Then the staysail blew the bow off the wind again, leaving us beam onto the tempest. The guys dived for cover behind the hatches as the canvas went mad. I tried to grapple the gaff by heaving in on the leech of the sail, but the bolt rope ripped my fingernails out. The sail was doing serious damage all round, and I hadn't the faintest clue what to do next, when suddenly the gaff flipped inboard and sat patiently on top of the shoulder-high boom. As I stared in this disbelief at this physical impossibility, I swear I heard a stern Welsh voice. "I can't hold it forever, lad. Are you just going to stare at it? Or will you take a turn and save yourself?" With frozen hands, I whipped the tie around that dreadful spar while the crew somehow lashed up the thrashing flax. Then we all staggered below to the bogey stove, where I pondered profoundly on things visible and invisible. 6 years later, Pirate Morris made his final appearance when the boat was left rafted on piles with the vintage pilot boat Jolly Breeze. The morning after the 1987 hurricane, I drove down to check them out, only to find the harbour master towing the pair of them back upriver. Together, they weighed in at around 85 tons. "What happened?" I asked as he tossed me a line. "They broke away from the mooring piles," he said, "but somehow somebody let go your main anchor. They fetched up 200 metres down the river, and they were as snug as a pair of ducks." The cutter's antique windlass was so eccentric that no stranger would have stood a chance of working it. In any case, why would anyone clamber onto a pair of ancient craft on such a night, perform impossible heroics, and then disappear? Not human nature, is it? It was the pilot again. Who else? I've known other boats with guardian angels. Not all of them have had so obvious a connection, and not every boat has been as historic as mine was. When and why do they come aboard? Sometimes, as I sail today's sparkling seas, I wonder what happened to old Pilot Morris. His boat's long gone for rebuild, and there's so little of the original left that he's probably jumped ship. I certainly haven't met up with him again, so I can only hope he hasn't forgotten the lads and the lasses who sailed his cutter so far with such dreams in their hearts. However sophisticated we become, we never know when we'll need a helping hand.